Whoa, where you been all these years? Come on in. Take a seat.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Dandridge. Yeah, sorry I haven't gotten around to seeing you sooner, but things are a bit hectic on the old randomizer front, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
But we're here now, and hoping you might be interested in taking a look at it for us today.
Interested? I'm fascinated. Where can I see it?
Oh, right here. Marina's just taking it out of its carry case. Yes, there we go.
Oh, it's sensational.
Yeah, not bad, is it?
It's a gem. A perfect gem.
And we'd like to extend to you an invitation to press the button today.
Say, that's a great idea.
Ah, that's it. Nicely done.
Oh, splendid. So efficient.
It is indeed. Always assuming it picks a good episode, of course. Any preferences?
I regret to say I don't know.
Well then, hopefully you won't be too disappointed when I tell you that today's episode is... a little art.
No, I don't know much about art, but I know what I like.
Yes, it is quite a likable episode, as I recall.
This is sensational.
Well, you like it, I like it, but let's see what the Podstrons think. Here's Supercar.
Supercar!
So, we are back with Supercar for a little art, and we start, appropriately enough, in an art gallery. With some very cool lounge jazzy music. I'm not sure if that's a Barry Gray one or a library track.
And all for the sale of a bunch of vulgar modern paintings that pass as art.
Oh.
Value!
And instantly we have a couple of very likeable and very memorable characters. These are our villains, our guest villains for the week.
Steindorf, the only thing you...
Steindorf.
Crawling on subway posters.
And...
Jody! Jody Mattern!
In poison.
Yay!
Well, it's a nice little racket you got here.
Yes, we instantly establish that these two are ne'er-do-wells.
Ten. Yeah, but all good things come to an end, you know.
Graydon Gould doing another of his, voices, which I think work really well for supercar villains.
Avoided, see, by your friend and mine, the late Bud Hasler.
And now we have this very long conversation about art.
When it came to painting dollar bills.
Because, you know, supercar, we gradually build up to the action stuff a bit later in the series. Very early on, we have to have stories about paintings and talking about paintings.
You sold Mexican Plain?
Oh, no.
It surprised me, too, finding someone fool enough to buy such worthless trash.
I wonder who could be fool enough to buy such worthless trash. But I also really like the look of these two villains.
But where Hasler buried the counterfeit plates?
Oh.
It's obvious that Steindorf is a former crook gone straight-ish.
Great Beaker of Black Rock.
Of course it was Beaker.
Have it, do you suppose?
He's got a lovely waistcoat as well as Steindorf.
He may have to play it another way.
See?
Beginning to look a bit shabby, isn't she, Professor?
Oh,
gee, no. I don't see anything wrong, Professor.
Not on Blu-ray. It looks lovely, Professor.
But as Mike says, the gloss is fading.
Well, no.
Professor, can't keep giving her a facelift every other week.
Oh. I almost felt for a moment there that like the show was becoming meta. It was commenting on itself there. The gloss is fading. It's not as novel as it was.
Try a filter varnish.
How would that help, Professor?
Well...
And this is, again, I think we've discussed this before, where we don't have explosions and exciting stuff to happen. We have to have long conversations about science-y things, and in this case, paint and gloss.
Remarkable here in the way of a painting.
Oh. Trust Doc. He's been working on our problem before we even knew we had one.
We'll be right there, Doctor.
I don't know why we're standing up on the upper level, Doctor.
Ah.
Oh. Seriously.
This is great, though. Who's Beaker showing the painting to first? His fellow art critic, Midge.
Oh, come now. You're just saying that.
And again, it's another wonderful moment of David Graham talking to himself. And this is also a really nice painting. A bit Salvador Dali-ish. We have a cactus casting a shadow over the desert. A clock, and some calendar pages.
I am disappointed.
Dated March 5th, 1929. That's the only visible one I can see. And signed...
Image.
Hasler.
Oh, bless my soul. He's gone.
He just lit off after Jimmy. Have you been scaring him with your experiments, Doc?
No,
Just my painting.
This? This is your painting? Certainly.
Oh, did he just say the thing that I said? Oh, dear.
Who's a fool?
Exactly, yes.
We were building our hopes too high, Professor.
Wait! Stop! Where are you?
Yes, this is Beaker's latest hobby of the week.
without even looking.
Although, I suppose in production order, this is quite an early one, actually.
Where's the signature now?
I'd love to know who painted this. It's very detailed. Hassler, 29.
A Hassler. Uh-huh. So?
But have you no soul? Can you
that was a statement. Have you no soul? This is an episode with lots of...
Okay, and I think it stinks.
Graydon Gould's deadpan, that wonderful deadpan side of Mike. Because there isn't much action in this one, but there is a lot of...
the beacon of culture.
Stuff he has to endure.
But meanwhile, we've got some serious painting to do.
Serious? I'll say it's serious. The hour.
Yeah, we're back in the groovy art gallery. It's a nice set as well.
And what do I find?
They've made very good use of a very small amount of space. They've roped off, like you would get in a gallery, two posts with a rope between them, so that they don't have to have a huge set.
Suppose you quit dreaming and think up how we can get that Hassler back.
Of course, I'm just waiting for...
I also like that Jody has got gaps in his teeth.
Standoff speaks.
It's quite a fun... You don't really notice characters' teeth so much in these shows. They're either, they're just there.
Subscriber in the area.
Very well. Thank you.
Maybe he's a hoymet or something.
A hoymet? Say, he's a hoymet.
You can feed to go out there and grab it off him.
You mean, steal it.
Now, is that screwed right down, Jimmy? It has to be absolutely airtight.
I think it's okay, Professor.
Gee, I'm sure glad I'm learning about varnish instead of getting an education in a school.
No. Charging nicely. Are we ready to fire?
I beg your pardon, Mike.
Well, there's no room for levity here, Mike. We are painting supercar.
Firing one now.
Uh-huh. And interestingly, close up on the hand there, but that wasn't a human hand, that was a puppet hand still holding the bottle.
Satisfactory. Most satisfactory.
Well, I think we are ready to have a go at supercar.
Yay!
No job, I'm afraid, because we have to be sure of covering every inch of the paintwork.
Oh, spare us no moment of this thrilling adventure.
Professor?
What? Was it? Where?
It's okay, it was Dr. Beaker's phone. Don't point that thing at me.
It probably means Mitch has answered it.
Now let me get this straight, Mr. Steindorf.
I'm speaking into a telephone, but the puppet is not sculpted to actually be able to fit the speaking part to my mouth. Thus, I have the phone at my ear, and the speaking end is somewhere over my heart.
Swallowing it?
I think so. You paid 90 for it.
Yeah, that's odd. They've sculpted these phones, but they don't reach from the ear to the mouth. The mouth end is quite away from the mouth.
Yeah, you're wasting your time, Mr. Steindorf. Yes, it is possible it is a fake, but it must be a very good fake, or it would not command the price you are asking.
Or else I am very stupid and willing to turn over lots of money for no good reason.
Probably how Popkiss enticed him to come on board with Supercar, actually.
Almost finished this side.
The level in the job...
Never do find out where they got all the money to pay for all of this.
Jimmy?
Okay, Professor.
There's one prepared of the bench, inside the door.
That's it, Professor.
Over the lion pit, next to the acid bath.
Say we go see what...
Be careful.
Yes. Now, the question we ask ourselves is, why? Why is Mr. Steindorf so anxious to regain possession of this landscape? I wonder. Could it really be an old master? An early Van Gogh, perhaps?
Or a Delgado? Or even an Ainley?
Because stenciled on the back of the canvas here quite clearly is the inscription...
This is a fake. In black felt tip.
Chicago, 1929.
Must have got around a bit, this Van Gogh.
Ooh.
In time and space.
Oh, so the master is involved. Mitch agrees.
It may seem human.
That was a valuable contribution there from our simian friend.
Steindorf must have some reason for wanting the picture.
Well, perhaps the canvas has been used before. Perhaps...
It really is a lovely painting. Very detailed.
A grandma Moses.
I don't know. I know that Keith Wilson was doing paintings for Thunderbirds and later Space 1999. Was he on the show at this point?
Nevertheless, the professor has given me an idea. There may indeed be another painting beneath this one. And if so, with the aid of a little infrared investigation, we shall discover it.
Ooh, I love that Mitch is sat directly behind Beaker, just watching his every word, taking it all in.
Doing, Professor, you know what the doc's like when he gets an idea.
So much for your big idea. Where did it get us?
Well, how was I to know he turned down more than $100?
And I really like this David Graham guest voice character for Steindorf here. In fact, a few years ago, I voiced a couple of characters in the Nebula 75 Christmas episode. And one of them I based on this voice.
I've never seen the thing, remember?
Because I just love the sound of Steindorf. I'm not sure who David Graham is basing it on. But it's really lovely. Meanwhile, speaking of David Graham loveliness,
makeshift apparatus.
Beaker, and of course Mitch, are about to turn the infrared onto the painting.
Satisfactory, developer, fixer. Are we ready then?
Yeah, jolly good. I couldn't conceive of doing this highly complicated experiment without you, Mitch. Oh, that's so sweet.
Do you mind if I switch on?
No.
Beaker's got the photo that he's taken in developing fluid, and Mitch has got another tray of developing fluid that he's just tapping his fingers in. He's just copying what Beaker is doing. It's so sweet.
Nothing special. Just wondered how you're getting on.
But I thought you weren't interested.
That was when you borrowed the spray gun.
Oh, my dear.
Uh-huh.
I quite forgot. You shall have it back almost immediately. I merely wanted it to spray a solvent over the canvas.
What for?
Why?
Well, this is where we find out that the supercar team have only got one spray can between them.
And reveal what is undoubtedly a masterpiece beneath.
This is all exciting stuff. And, yeah, having spent all this money on this painting...
Over the whole area...
Beaker is now more interested in the mystery of why Steindorf wants the painting back so badly that he is going to spray solvent over the painting to see what lies underneath. Because he's rather like a butterfly in terms of his passions and his interests. One minute it'll be that the painting is everything, and then the next, oh, there's a mystery underneath it.
Quick, take it and let's get out of here.
And it's nighttime now.
Please! Before someone wakes.
And Steindorf and Jody have broken into Black Rock, unbeknownst to anybody, and they've ripped the painting out, or cut it out.
In the morning you'll see, the man said. So what do we see?
Curious.
I love this, Mike really rubbing it in.
It'll be quite gone, the man said. And he was right, too. Mighty good solvent of yours, Doc. I thought just the top layer was supposed to disappear.
And it's interesting, seeing Jody and Steindorf sneak into Black Rock at night. This is, over the course of this episode, and it's quite rare for Supercar, the Supercar team actually don't meet the villains. I don't think, anyway.
I thought that perhaps he might have thrown a light on this bit.
Which is quite unusual, really, because, you know, it's, in terms of drama, Supercar is a fairly basic good guys and bad guys kind of show. And generally, there is always some kind of confrontation with those bad guys.
Well, of stealing it.
But not here, which is unusual. It's nice.
That landscape and those mountains. I'll swear I've seen them before.
So the supercar team they've lost the painting, because Jody and Steindorf have made off with that, but they've still got prints that Beaker had made.
Can we not rest a moment? I've not had a moment's relaxation since we caught the plane at 4 o'clock this morning.
You can rest when we get there. Hey, wait a minute. Aren't those the mountains?
Mountains?
Well, there's some rocks that the prop department have dropped in and draped some sand over.
The mountains, the ones we're looking for.
No, I hope so.
Oh, and they've draped the puppets with sweat. And an odd thing with the Jody puppet, though, is, and I think I may have mentioned this previously with Supercar, when he opens his lip to speak, there's light shining in through the back of his mouth, almost as if... it's coming in through, like, the lines, the join line on the neck.
Where it's going on?
Hassler. Bud Hassler. Yes, an artist. A forger. Is that the only one you know of?
Well.
I'm curious. Most curious. But then I suppose a forger is an artist in his own peculiar way.
A forger? Of course, Doc.
Beaker's now got the speaking end of the phone basically on his tie.
In 1929.
Oh. Pop Kiss history there.
My colleague appears to be familiar with the case.
I suspect he may well be an accomplice, and you should arrest him forthwith.
And they never found the plates he used.
Or the bodies.
Beaker, do you suppose that's what Steindorf is after?
Hey, Doc, Professor, I've got it.
What, Mike?
Those mountains. Looks like the sleeper range, some 20 miles across the Mexican border. Huh. We flew over them on that Amazon trip.
Oh, we mentioned a previous episode there.
Nearest formation.
Hurrah.
The figure of an incumbent man.
I mean, it's vague enough that it could be anything, but the second episode of the show in production order was Amazonian Adventure.
That Hassler was caught in 1929. He must have buried the plates there.
But where exactly?
It was when they went off to the jungle to save Mitch. They had to find Tlogai, I seem to remember.
This must be the place.
Ah, so they found the spot in the desert that Hassler's painting seems to indicate, because of course,
does Hassler describe it?
It may have been mentioned, and I've probably waffled over it. Some buried counterfeit plates, I think. It's not treasure, it's counterfeit plates.
The situation as I see it.
Aha.
Hush, Mitch.
I beg your pardon. Gentlemen and Mitch.
I was also not counting Jimmy in either of those phrases.
Yes, Beaker is giving a briefing now. He's got a blackboard out with a pointing stick and everything.
1929 was, according to the professor, the date of Hassler's capture, not far from this spot.
Again, Mitch is listening so intently.
The only legible date falling from the calendar here, we deduce that this picture holds the answer to the riddle.
So? What is the answer?
Well, I suggest the best plan is to visit the scene of the crime. We are sure to find some kind of pointer.
Hmm. There was an odd piece of what looked like cloth poking up from the bottom of the screen there as Mike was talking. I'm not sure what that's about.
We dig beneath it.
Oh, no. That would be too easy. Hassler...
No, you'll dig beneath it.
...enough to do that. So he used the shadow.
The shadow?
Yeah. Now look.
Supreme Headquarters Alien Defense Organization.
Pointing arm.
Oh, no, the shadow of the cactus. It points like a finger.
25 after one, the shadow hand shows us where to dig.
Ingenious.
Yeah, Hassler was no fool. So get moving, huh?
Yeah, there it is again. I can see light coming through Jody's mouth.
And you go take a look around for the...
I suppose it could be teeth.
By myself.
Division of labor, pal. I'm saving my strength for the digging.
Let me see now. They'll be digging there presumably at the hour shown in the picture, namely 1325 hours.
Yeah, and it's gone 12 already.
Ooh.
Climb aboard.
We haven't even had lunch yet.
Good luck, Dr. Beaker.
Start off, Jimmy.
Ready when you are, Mike.
Hold it. Doc's just coming aboard. Steady there. Okay, Professor.
Oh, that's a very nice way of getting Beaker into Supercar without showing it. Just have Mike narrate it. That little easy there. It's just so, that adds so much. It's very good. Again, that's the kind of things that the Woodhouses were doing in all their scripts. Just the attention to detail and reality. And I know the Andersons and everyone else was always sort of intent on how do we bring these puppets to life. They were more interested in doing that technically. What can we show them doing? Whereas the Woodhouses were like, they would do what they did just there, slip in a nice little bit of dialogue. Very nice. Oh God, Jimmy's looking up at the opening roof doors like God's about to come in.
Open and she's all yours.
Selecting vertical takeoff now.
That's it. Supercar's up. There's a bit of a wobbly takeoff there. I have to assume there's somebody holding it at each end. There's no way that puppet scale supercar is on wires.
Oh, Jody! Jody!
Jody!
No, I've been right around in a circle, and And the cactus just isn't there.
What?
Perhaps it died. 30 years is a long time.
Jody was just sleeping while Steindorf's doing all the work. And he's doing all the work in jacket, waistcoat, and bow tie.
North of the border.
Even though, you know, we're in the Mexican desert and they're sweating profusely.
And if we keep going according to the last flight plan, you should hit the spot with some accuracy.
Oh. Jimmy raised his hand there as if he was about to say something and it cut away.
Oh, that was a nasty turn, my...
Thank goodness.
In fact, it gave me a nasty turn, too.
Sorry, Doc. We gotta make time if we're gonna beat Steindorf to the plates.
Oh, I hardly think you need worry unduly about Steindorf. It just occurs to me that he can't possibly find the plates.
What do you mean, Baker?
Ooh. He's got the canvas, hasn't he?
The canvas, yes. But not necessarily the picture.
For Pete's sake, if you're so dumb you can't find it with your own eyes, then maybe the picture will tell us where the cactus is. Clean up the...
Oh, they buried the picture.
Jody.
Well, the picture has become buried in sand. And of course, remember, Beaker sprayed his solvent on it.
No! Oh, no!
So there's no painting left.
And so, I imagine Mr. Steindorf has found, somewhat to his chagrin, the effectiveness of my solvent.
Yeah.
Well, we'll soon know.
How much money did I spend on this painting that I sprayed with solvent and then let get steel, by the way?
Whoa, that's a fairly dramatic dip there from Supercar.
First no cactus and now no picture.
It's not my fault.
Of course it's your fault. If you hadn't unloaded it on that doctor guy.
Oh, dear.
Have it and the plates.
Why?
They've all been foiled by Beaker.
Dig anyway.
Dig up a whole desert? If that's the way you want it, you stay.
Again, more great performance from Graydon Gould there, and that's not even Mike.
You? Why couldn't you have been a plain, ordinary, fake Rembrandt.
Oh, and that's it. Our two villains walk out of the story to that little bum-bum-bum drum sting that you get in Supercar sometimes.
Hide us a sleeper, rain.
Okay, Professor.
Hang on, Doc. Here we go.
Whoa, another dramatic dip.
Wait a moment. There's a range over there. About 7-8 miles off.
That's it. Cutting to half moon.
If I were you, I would come in from a slight southwesterly direction. That will, if I may coin a phrase, put us in the picture.
Oh, I made a funny there. Not a very big funny, but a funny all the same. Well, it's more than Jimmy could do.
Ah, oh, there's the painting.
The birds have flown, Doc.
True.
But of course, Beaker brought, well, he brought his umbrella and he brought the print of the painting.
Could we find it, do you suppose?
Like how, for instance?
Well, having deduced during the course of our journey the meaning of the shadow at the precise...
This is quite involved, actually, for a kid's show plot.
Simulate a cactus.
What?
The cactus and the shadow and the mountains and the plates. Again, great work from the Woodhouses. Who were always so confident that kids were intelligent enough to follow all this.
If the length of the mountain shadow is...
Especially with Beaker's intelligence. He's making some calculations in the sand.
Satisfactory. Most satisfactory. The cactus would have been about your height, Mike. So if you would kindly...
Oh, terrific. Lucky me.
With your arms just so.
The things I do for you, Doc.
And you wouldn't catch this, I don't think, in any other Anderson Super Mario Nation show. One of the lead characters is forced to pretend to be a cactus, but that's just the nature of Mike's relationship with Beaker. And of course, they brought shovels and a hat for digging, and they found the plates. And they've taken them home.
Are these really counterfeit plates, Professor?
No, Jimmy, we just dug them up for the hell of it. What the hell do you think we're doing?
Interested in them? Just as the police will be interested in Mr. Steindorf.
Yeah, I don't suppose he'll be in the painting business for a while. Will you be sorry, Doc?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, having observed that photographs are somewhat more durable than paintings, I'm thinking of giving up art altogether.
Oh, hey. Hmm.
getting into photography. I'm not sure that's an episode we had.
Oh, really? What kind of painting?
Ah, Mike's hired a promising young artist to make Beaker a painting. And there he is, even wearing a little artisty hat. It's quite good, actually. Well, that was Supercar, A Little Art. And I suppose your fondness for that one kind of depends on your fondness, really, for Supercar, and particularly early Supercar, where there isn't much going on in the action side of things, but there's just a lot of clever characterization and clever plotting by the Woodhouses. Two really nice guest characters in Jody and Steindorf. And as I say, it's quite unusual that there is no final sort of confrontation between them and the Supercar team. They just give up with the whole sorry mess and go home. Presumably they got arrested off screen. But yeah, some really nice character stuff there, particularly, as always, between Beaker and Mike. It really emphasizes the strength of their relationship, which is just one of the highlights of Supercar. So yeah, all in all, I would say one of the earliest highlights of Supercar.